Let me start out by saying that there are many men about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, very many men who have spent their entire lives studying these scriptures, studying the original text, studying the commentaries, and they're not even decided on exactly what Paul is saying. So, you know, I've spent 3 days studying this area of scripture, and the more I study, quite honestly, the more I realize I need to study more. So I say that to say, look, it's not a disclaimer to say whatever I say you don't believe. I'm saying study for yourselves to be a good Berean. Study for yourselves. If you want to know, and we're going to look over this area of scripture, the first 12 verses over the next couple of weeks, but we want to be good students of the Word of God. And the great thing about God who's living and alive, who's given us his Holy Spirit, is that when we read scripture, he can enlighten us. He can direct us on the truths that are written here. I believe it's my own convictions that there's certain things that Paul's saying, and I feel wholeheartedly in my heart this is what he's saying. But I also realize that the Holy Spirit can enlighten. Paul, in 12 verses, goes from the rapture to the great tribulation to the second coming of Christ in 12 verses. So basically, he's skimming over it, if you will. And so we need to really realize, step back, what is Paul really trying to say to this church? Paul is really trying to restore hope into this church. If you were here with us last week, we saw that this church was a faithful church. We saw that they were growing in their faith. We saw that they were a loving church. They were abounding in their love. But the one thing they were lacking at this particular time is their hope of the return of Jesus Christ. Because there was a false letter that had come to the apostle, supposedly from the apostle Paul to them saying, hey, you're in the great tribulation. You're in the tribulation period. You've missed the rapture. You are suffering right now, and so that's where you're at. This letter was not from the Apostle Paul, and so for that reason, he's written the second letter to them to bring back and restore hope. Let me ask you, do you need some hope this morning? Do you need some encouragement in your life this morning? Do you need God to reach his hand down into your heart, into your life, into your mind, and say, come on. Get going. Get excited about your relationship with me. Listen, there's a lot of things in the world that we're bummed out about. There's a lot of things going on in our country that we don't agree with. There's a lot of things that we can get discouraged with and depressed about, financial burdens. But listen, there's hope in the return of Jesus Christ for his church. There's people today who believe that we're in the tribulation. I don't see it that way. I don't believe. I believe that Jesus is going to come back like this in a moment and take us home. That we'll no longer have to be dealing with this. That we can hit front row seats to see the great tribulation take place. I do believe that with all my heart, that this pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That's what the Bible, I believe the Bible teaches. I believe that's what Paul is teaching here. Because to me, that's the only thing that will keep hope in this church. That's the only thing. The return of Jesus Christ can happen at any moment. What has to happen before that? In my opinion, the last person that needs to be born that's going to believe in Jesus Christ, that's what needs to happen. And that's the only thing that needs to happen. The last believer that's going to be born on the earth, there's no reason. He can come back at that moment. So he can come at any moment. So today might be the day that you stand up, give your life to Christ, and we get to go to heaven. That's a heavy burden on your shoulders. But please consider it, seriously. This could be our day. This could be our moment. This could be the moment that we go to be with the Lord and to ever, forever to be with him. Do you realize, have you learned how much God loves you? How much God loves you? Will God put his church, his pride and joy through a great tribulation? Hey, we can all say we got trials and temptations, but nothing like going to be compared to those 7 years of the great tribulation. Nothing compared to that. And that's what Paul's saying. Listen, don't lose your hope, church. You need to be restored in your hope and your confidence in Jesus Christ. And maybe there's some of you here today that have lost that. You're focusing on the struggles you're having in your marriage, the difficulty you're having at the workplace with either your boss or another coworker. It's just stressful. Get your eyes off of those things. Get your eyes upon the glory of God. He will strengthen you and carry you through those difficult times so that we'll have hope, so that our lives will make a difference. I get so excited just hearing another pastor in another country sharing about what God is doing there. It stirs in me my spirit to say, I want to go be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. And I wonder, are there other believers in our church that want to be a part of that? There's plenty of things we can do overseas, in seas, or whatever you call that, in the country. There's things we can be doing. We don't have to go to Ica, sorry to say, we don't have to go to Ica, Peru to see God work. We can do it right here this morning. We can do it later this afternoon at lunch. We can do it tonight when we're sitting watching the football game. Did the pastor just say football at church? Listen, every opportunity in your life is an opportunity for God to move and for the Spirit of God to move in your heart and to move you in such a way that you have joy and that you're confident. My prayer this morning is that God would stir us, no matter how many verses we get through this morning. Stir us, God. Restore our hope that we would leave this place on fire for God to make a difference. Listen, there's plenty of people that are bummers in this world that'll bring you down, that'll discourage you. Don't be that person. Be the one to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Shut your mouth. I'm going to encourage. I'm a child of God. Anyway, let's look at what Paul's saying here, because that's what he's talking about. He's restoring this hope. Let's look at verses. Let's read the 12 verses here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. After I breathe. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Oh, if we would only have that tape of that teaching. And now you know, verse 6, what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Hallelujah. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Woo. All right, Paul. Verse 1, Paul says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the rapture of the church. We listened to this like 2-3 weeks ago in chapter 1, the rapture of the church, the catching up. They were also concerned before that they had missed the rapture, that the ones that had died, their loved ones that had died, oh no, they're going to miss the glory of God. They're going to miss the rapture. And Paul had told them, listen, no. When Jesus Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we will go and be with him. We talked about then, to me, that is an instant. They both happen at the same time. The capturing up of those that have passed away, that are believe in Christ, he will raise those first. And then those of us who are still alive will be caught up with him. Harpazo, thank you. The catching up, the rapture of the church. God, come, take us back. Do you pray for that? Do we pray for Christ to return and take us home fervently? And I hope, yes, I'm hearing the yeses, and I pray that we do. You know, it's a conviction. It's like, well, we're praying for, you know, that we have enough money to pay our bills. We're praying that life wouldn't be so hard. Are we praying for Christ to come back so we don't have to worry about any of it? Oh, my Father, you know, it's like, live your life for the Lord, but Lord, come quickly. The heart of the Apostle Paul was always, man, I would rather depart and be with the Lord, but it's better off for you for me to stay. So this was the struggle for the Apostle Paul. Is that the struggle for you? Do we truly want to stay here until our loved ones are saved? Absolutely. Do we really want to stay here until we see that distant cousin who didn't believe or ridiculed Jesus Christ or your faith? Do we want to see them finally come to the place where they love the Lord? Yes, we do. But at the same time, in the back of our heads, Lord, come take us home. Come take us home. I've shared with you about praying for my father, about how long ago he used to just ridicule and make fun of my brother, myself, and my mother who believed. And to this day, now hearing him say, oh, isn't God good? Oh, isn't the Lord doing, didn't God give us a great, I mean, to hear the word Lord or God come across his lips. I told him my last visit, I said, God, you're amazing. To hear my father speak of the Lord is just humbling to me. And it brings such joy to my heart that we might pray, all of us, for those that, what, that need this comfort, that need this assurance of Jesus Christ, this salvation, to know that we don't have to do life alone. And that's what Paul is saying here, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning their parousia, is the Greek word, this coming back of Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. Concerning these things and the gathering together, he says, we ask you, don't be so soon, what does he say? Verse 2, not to be so soon shaken in mind or troubled. Is there a peace in your heart? Is there a rest in your heart when it comes to salvation? You know, I've talked to some people here recently who have given their life to the Lord, and there was just this unsettledness. There was this unrest. For many years in my life, I didn't believe in a God, but there was this unrest in my heart. Why was I born? Why was I created? Was the only reason so that I could get married, have some kids, buy a house, and then die? Is that the reason? What's the purpose? And then I heard the gospel message, and God reached his hand into my heart, and he drew me to himself, and then he now resides in my heart. He resides in your heart, if you believe. Have you settled that? Are you sure? Because when we read these things about the rapture and the great tribulation and the awful situation of the enemy, if you don't have that assurance, man, you look at that and you get scared. I remember the first time I read the book of Revelation. It's like, wow. That's some heavy-duty stuff. And if you don't know that you're not going to go through that, man, you're going to get scared about it. I've known believers say, oh, I don't like to read the book of Revelation. It scares me. Well, then you don't like scary movies because you're not going to be there. It's a movie for us that believe. Do you believe? Do you have that assurance? Do you have that hope? Do you have that hope that, man, if today was the day, I get to be with the Lord? Or is that your mentality, well, someday I'll do it. At some time, I'll get around to it. Don't settle it in your heart. Make sure you know that you know that you know that you're going to be the Lord, because that's what Paul's heart was. Listen, I want you guys to realize, Church of Thessalonica, I want you to realize you're not in the Great Tribulation. Yes, you're under persecution, but guess what? Believers who wish to live godly will face persecution. Believers, as we talked about last week, believers that want to live for the Lord, that want to make their lives make a difference, make an impact in someone else's life, it's going to be difficult. You're going to come against opposition. You're going to get those questions about the Bible that you don't know the answers to. Isn't that the most scary thing? What happens if they ask me something I don't know? Say you don't know. It's an easy answer. Well, then they'll think I'm dumb. So, God says he uses the foolish things of the world. God calls you dumb. He's smart. Let him work through you. Let him use you for the glory of God. If we go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's be reminded of a couple things. See, Paul taught them in the first letter about the rapture, and I want to look at this again. 1 Thessalonians 4, look at verse 15. Paul says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, the return, the rapture, will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the hope. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Praise God. Verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. There should be a comfort when it comes to the things of end times, of the rapture of the church, of the great tribulation, of the second coming of Christ. I want you to think about this for a minute. This church that Paul is writing to, maybe a year or two old. And when Paul birthed this church with Timothy and Silas, Paul was very quickly removed from this church, but in the first months, weeks, whatever it is that Paul was there, he taught them about the rapture of the church. He taught them about the second coming of Christ. He taught them about the Greek. I mean, isn't this Bible college stuff material? Isn't this stuff you sign up for, like adult education at church? This isn't stuff you learn in church. This isn't for new believers. Paul thought it was most important to teach to new believers. Every single one of us in this room should be understanding and knowledgeable about the rapture of the church. If someone came to you and say, why do you believe? Can you give a reason? Why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you believe in the Bible? Why? Can you give a reason why? Because I know he's going to bring me to heaven in a moment. Because I know my life is in his hand. I'm protected. Do you know these things? This is not milk. This is certainly the meat of the word. This is certainly deep stuff. But we're to know it. We're to know it. And there's a lot of positions. Again, we talk about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all those things. And we can know those things, but do you know them in your heart? Do you claim them as your own? Or is it, well, the pastor says? I mean, how many people I know, well, don't we believe? Well, I know what I believe, but what do you believe? Don't believe because a certain denomination believes it. Don't believe it because your church believes it. Believe it because you believe it. It's your faith, not our faith. Our faith together helps us endure together, but your faith is what's going to get you through every little difficulty in your life. So Paul shares this with a young church. Jesus said it himself, talking about coming back. Let's go to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. John 14. Robin, you went way too long, man. I shared with a couple guys yesterday. I have more notes on this section than I've ever had in any study, and it's Communion Sunday. And then we're doing the, you know, Boy Scout Sunday. I was like, okay. This might be a part two. Okay. John 14, look at verse 1. Jesus, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus says, I'm going to heaven to prepare a place. I'm going to come back for you. He's talking about the rapture. It's so good that we just don't take Paul's word for it. We look at Jesus' word to say, I am coming back. And there is scripture after scripture supporting the return of Jesus Christ, that he is coming back for his church. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells with us. He'll be with us forever. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We'll look at it next week when the restrainer is removed. Who's the restrainer? What is the restrainer? What could that possibly be, Paul? You know, quite honestly, I wish Paul would have written this. I mean, he needed to read Bibles for Dummies so that he could write, he who now restrains, parentheses, and who he was. That would clear up a lot of things. What is restraining evil in the world? What is keeping God from coming back? What is the timing of his return? What is it? Oh, we're going to look at it next week. I hope I've got you on the edge of your seat. But I want you to be hopeful. I want you to be realizing that Jesus is coming back. And that's good news, guys. That's good news for those who believe. It's bad news for those who don't. And just, we're going to close with this. As I said, I believe in rapture happens before the tribulation starts. I believe there is absolutely nothing that needs to happen before the rapture of the church takes place. I believe Jesus could come back right now, as long as the last believer believes. And when that happens, the moment the rapture happens, the great tribulation starts. And that great tribulation lasts 7 years. How people can think that we are in the Great Tribulation, I don't know. It only lasts for 7 years. And we can look at our world and say, it's very evil though, Pastor Rob. It's very dark. I mean, God is being pulled out of everything. Yes, it's bad, but there's still a lot of good in the world. There's still a lot of Bible-believing churches that have hope until that day we go to be with him. And we'll look at that next week. But I want you to know, the rapture happens and immediately the Great Tribulation starts 7 years. 3.5 years in the middle of it. The first 3.5 years are going to be this Antichrist that comes on the scene and proposes peace, and the difficulties that are going on in the Middle East are all going to seem to be working out, and everybody's going to be like, yeah, this makes sense. But the church is gone. And I believe with all my heart, it's going to be a whole lot easier to believe the lie of the Antichrist when the church is gone. And if I might be sarcastic for a moment, they're going to look and say, oh, good, all those narrow-minded Christians are gone. Good. Now we got them out of the way. They're believing a bunch of mysterious hocus pocus. Glad they're gone. Now we're wise. Listen, there's a lot of people that say there's so many contradictions in the Word of God. And that's their belief. Well, first, I hope they've read the whole Bible. But you know what? To me, there's a lot of consistencies in the Word of God. A lot of consistencies that make a lot of sense. Because listen, the Bible, you might want to write this down. The Bible is 66 individual books written by over 40 different authors over 1,500 years in three different languages, over three different continents. And it has basically, at the root of it, one message: the love of God. That's powerful. And when you look at it like that and you go, there's contradictions? No. When you look at the vastness of the Word of God and you realize the things that are supportive, that make total sense, man, this is the Word of God. This is something that is to bring hope, that'll teach us how to live. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Live it. Live it. Live it. You like that? We'll get to verse 3 next week.